Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Ayin. We are starting on Samach Tes Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We're at the two dots. We're going to be starting at the heading of Kohani Levi Yisraeli. And yesterday I gave a crash course in history, so let's start this morning with the same crash course. We are now going back into Eretz Yisrael after 7 years of being in Galus. 7 years of Galus Bavel. And Dariavesh gives the full permission allowance for Ezra, Nehemiah to go and rebuild Bayis Sheni. So you have a number of members of the Jewish people going up, led by Ezra and by Nehemiah, going back to Eretz Yisrael in order to build Bayis Sheni. And so it's a ragtag team. It's not; it doesn't represent a large population of the Jewish people. It's a very small population. The numbers that are given in the Navi itself, for today, by the way, in terms of good preparation for today, I did not follow my own advice, but for good preparation for today, so go through Ezra and Nehemiah. The Sfarim of Ezra and Nehemiah, and there you're going to be seeing everything which I'm describing in much greater detail. In fact, in today's daf, we're going to be quoting a lot of psukim from Ezra and Nehemiah. So a lot of good luck to us to try to navigate some of these psukim. They're not easy psukim to read anyway. That's coming up in a little bit from now. But the number that's given in the Sefer, 42,000. Approximately 42,000 Jews came up with Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild Bayis Sheni. That is not a lot of people. And obviously the point of which is that it's a ragtag team. It's a ragtag team. And what did Ezra do? So he brought a number of people together with him. Now, did he force them to come? So that was a debate yesterday between Abai and Rava in terms of he certainly separated all the people who had a different classification, different categorization. The categories we're going to get to over the course of today's daf. So, and he separated them, and then he forced them to Eretz Yisrael. So again, Abai and Rava debated that very issue. But regardless, however, the Gemara's conclusion yesterday seems to be pretty clear. They came. They came with him to back to Eretz Yisrael, so that now all the people who had a lower yichus, who had a less than yichus, were now with Ezra and Nehemiah coming back into Eretz Yisrael. As I described yesterday, Ezra wanted it that way. In other words, Ezra and Nehemiah, they were the real rabbinic leadership, and they recognized it, and they realized that if they are leaving Bavel, and if they left them in Bavel, so then what's going to happen in Bavel? Is that they're just simply going to blend together with all the Jews who have a yichus, and so therefore we're going to lose the yichus altogether. So therefore what he did is he took the personal responsibility, where he brought them with him into Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore he can always be monitoring and looking after them in terms of their yichus. Okay, good. So anyway, so that's where we are right now. How many categories of Jews came with them to Eretz Yisrael? So 10 categories. Asar yuchsin, alu mi bavel. Yesterday we spent time going over the word alu, why mi bavel? Okay, but in other words, but there are 10 different categories. The Mishnah lists the 10 categories. And then who can marry whom? Oh, great question. And the answer is, it depends which circle you're in. So yesterday in the Mishnah, it's so organized. So we have the 10 categories. And then we drew three circles, right? A circle around categories 1, 2, and 3. Kohani Levi v'Yisraeli. A circle around categories 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then another circle... from categories 4 through 10. Okay, and so basically, as long as you're overlapping with somebody in your circle, so you can marry somebody in your circle. And obviously, if somebody's outside of your circle, you can't marry that individual. Okay, it's just a great way to organize all this information. It's a lot of information. And we started that yesterday. So now, what we're going to do is the following. So we now know that Ezra came up from Bavel with all 10 of these categories. And what the Gemara is going to be doing at the beginning of today's daf, it really is the entirety of today's daf, is that we're going to be citing sources. We're going to go over psukim. Now, at the time of the writing of the Mishnah, we are hundreds of years later, right? The Mishnah was finally edited and put down to paper around the second century of the Common Era. We are describing now something that occurred hundreds of years earlier, building a Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni, according to our tradition, is 420 years. As I noted yesterday, there are other traditions that have the Bayis Sheni, the secularists, secular historians have Bayis Sheni lasting about 150 years longer than that. Okay, obviously not a daf topic, but something to be aware of. Anyway, so our tradition is 420 years. So 420 years plus the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era, plus approximately another 150 years. So what you're looking at is a discrepancy of about 600 years between when we came up from Bavel to when the mission was finally put down on paper. So that's six centuries in between, but that's fine, meaning that's the Masorah. In other words, we have a tradition, and obviously the tradition went all the way through until it was put down pen to paper in the Mishnayos, just giving everyone a sense of historical awareness of when this actually took place. With all that stated, so let's go. Kohani, Levi, Yisraeli, Minalan, how do I know Disliku? So how do I know that they came? So over here, what the Mishnah is going to do, what the Gemara is going to do, is that it's going to be quoting the Psukim in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, pointing to those Psukim right there. So here we are now in Sefer Ezra, Perek Beis. So over here in the pasuk, clear that Ezra brought with him Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Now, what about Chalalim? What about Gerim? And what about Charurim? Okay, so these are all Jews, but with a different story. So let's just quickly go over each one of them. Chalalim, so that is a Kohen devoid of his Kedushas Kahuna. So let's say, for example, a Kohen marries a Grusha. So the child now is going to be a Chalal. Okay. So a Chalal is a full-fledged Jew. It's just a question of the Chalal being not having the Kedushas Kahuna. A Ger. Ger is a convert. We're talking about a Ger Tzedek. Full conversion. Full conversion means now you are a full member of the Jewish people. Fully responsible in all the mitzvahs of the Torah and are allowed to marry into the Jewish people. A Ger can't marry a Kohen. That's why, right, back in the Mishnah, so there is the circle is not going to overlap the Ger with the Kohen. And also Charurei. What's a Charurei? An Eved Kanani that was freed. So an Eved Kanani that's freed now, same thing. Full-fledged Jew, in other words, basically the same thing as a convert. Obviously, a Kohen can't marry a Shivcha that went through a emancipation. Good. So those are the three. Ezra brought these three categories up with him from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that? So Chalalim, Inalim D'Tanya, we learned in the Brisa Rabbi Yosi, Omer Gedola Chazaka, Shenemar. So the idea of Chazaka. Chazaka is basically a person has a certain presumption, a certain assumption, right? Chazaka is presumptions and assumptions that allow us to navigate through life. How do I know its significance? So over here, let's take a look at the following. Shenemar. Umimnei HaKohanim B'nei Chavaya, B'nei HaKotz, B'nei Barzilai, Asher Lakach Mimbnos Barzilai, Gilad Isha, V'Yikarei Alshamam, Eila Bikshu Kizvama Misyachsim, V'lo Nimtzau, V'yigolo Minakahuna. Okay, so we're obviously going through a lot of the Pesukim over here in Sefer Ezra. This is Perek Beis, and over here, where there's a family under investigation, under review, and where's your Sefer Ayuchsin? And where is your genealogy, right? Give us the paperwork that show us your genealogy. And they give the answer, which, you know, is a standard answer. Lost it, couldn't find it, right? I'm sure we had it. And so, v'yiga'ulu mina kahuna. So they are now rejected from kahuna, meaning that they no longer have the proof that shows that they are kohanim amiyuchasim. V'yomer ha-tirshata. Tirshata is a description of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is called the tirshata, because he was a server of drink. So Asher lo yachlu mikodesh hakadoshim adam od kohen lo urim v'tumim. So Nehemiah says, okay, so you can't eat kodesh hakadoshim. In other words, you do not have the paperwork that really proves that you are a kohanim yuchasim, and as a result of that, so you're going to be banned and restricted. Okay, so far, we're trying to prove that chazak is a big deal. Okay, the Pesukim over here don't seem to be doing such a good job proving that. Meaning, the Pesukim basically say, oh, where's your paperwork? You don't have your paperwork? I know you've been, for years, assuming that you're Kohanim, maybe even generations, but you don't have the paperwork? Sorry. So how is this serving as a proof? So just wait a moment, because it'll become clear.
So the Kohanim today have any proof?
Wait. let's wait a moment. Let's see where this goes. Let's first finish the Gemara's point. So I'm. It's so funny. I asked to wait. That was great. So Amar Lahem, Hare Atem Bechezka Sehem Bameh Ha'isem Ochlim Megola Bekashe Egvol. So Afkan Bekashe Egvol. So the Bnei Barzilai said to the Kohanim, Hare Atem Bechezka Sehem. So in other words, so here's what you could do. Everything you've been doing up until now, you can continue doing. That's now how we're dealing with Chazaka. Chazaka basically says the following. Look, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, so you know there are going to be upgrades in Eretz Yisrael because we're going to have a base of Mikdash, and they're going to be Karbanos. And so fantastic, right? Yeah, not for you guys. you guys Kohanim, so you don't have the paperwork, you don't have the Shtar HaYichus, so you won't be able to do that. However, in other words, we're not taking Kuhuna away from you. In fact, whatever you've been eating up until now, you're going to continue to eat. The idea of chazaka. So the Gemara continues. So what have you been doing over there? You've been eating truma. Now I know truma in buffalo is a little bit strange, but in other words, kachay hagvul. In other words, it's kodesh that can be eaten outside the base of mikdash. That's a description of truma. So you've been eating truma. You can continue eating truma. So honey achol b'truma asul askinu. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So the Bnei Barzilai, who are now, if they go ahead and are allowed to eat truma, isn't truma usually a barometer, at least according to some? Isn't it serve as a litmus test in terms of your yichus? So in other words, they can't prove their yichus. Oh, it's okay, they'll just eat truma and that's it. Yeah, but some people use truma as a litmus test in order to prove that they're in fact miyuchasim. So now what are you going to say? Shani hasam derechas kasayu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in this particular case, we're not worried. Why? Because they're not going to be allowed to eat the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In other words, they're not going to be able to eat karbanos. So in other words, there is a clear evidence in what they're allowed to eat and what they're not allowed to eat that shows everybody, it's clear demonstration, they're not miyuchasim. Ve'elamai gedola chazaka, so the Gemara says, okay. So that's great. But remember how the Braisa started? The Braisa is saying gedola chazaka. Chazaka is a really big deal. Now, chazaka is a big deal, but in other words, the introduction of the Braisa is chazaka is amazing. Gedola chazaka. Over here, all we're effectively saying is, whatever you've been eating up until now, you can continue eating. But in other words, that's fine. That's great. But that doesn't seem to ring to the expression of gedola chazaka. Chazaka is a really big deal. So the Gemara says, Mikara achol b'truma derabbanan ulevasof achol b'truma deraisa. Now, so the Gemara says that when they were eating truma up until now, they were eating truma only that was a truma derabbanan, only operated midrabbanan. Now, it could be midrabbanan simply because they were outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And so therefore, they were observing truma, but only on a rabbinic level. That's a simple and easy way to read the Gemara. Probably that's what the Gemara is referring to. But now that they're going into Eretz Yisrael, the truma that they're going to be eating is truma daraisa. That's an upgrade in the truma. Hence the expression gedola chazaka. And ki maskin mitruma liyuchsin midaraisa midrabban lo maskinan. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be only eating truma derabbanan, not truma daraisa. And and as far as using truma as a litmus test to show that if I'm eating truma, I have yichus. So that's only when you're eating truma daraisa. But if I'm only eating truma derabbanan, it's not a litmus test. Okay, so it's a possibility. But then, of course, you can already forecast the Gemara's next question. So if all they're allowed to eat when they go back into Eretz Yisrael is only truma derabbanan and not truma daraisa, so now let's ask ihachi my gedola chazaka. Yeah, but we said chazaka is a really big deal. And so far, all they're able to do is just whatever they've been doing up until now. So the Gemara says that miikara leka lemegzer mishum truma deraisa, and levesof afagav diika mishum lemegzer mishum truma deraisa. So bidraban echol deraisa lo echol. The Gemara says, look, when they were in Bavel, so what are we worried about? If you continue eating truma derabanan, so eventually you're going to eat truma deraisa. It's not an issue. It's not a concern in Bavel. In Bavel, there was no truma deraisa, so there's no reason to make a gzera. However, you come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have an allowance to eat truma derabanan. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, you know what you have available. You have truma derabanan, and you also have truma deraisa. So one could easily imagine that in Eretz Yisrael, now that we have truma both derabanan and deraisa, if we allow you to eat the truma derabanan, you're going to end up eating the truma deraisa. Meaning this would be a great moment to make a gzera once we're in Eretz Yisrael. Chazaka tells us we're not going to make a gzera. The power of chazaka is that despite the fact that there's a gzera that maybe we should make, but you know what? Up until now, they've been eating truma derabanan. We're going to allow them to continue eating truma derabanan despite the fact that we could have made a gzera. Okay. V'haksiv. So far, what have we done? We've covered a number of psukim that show that they brought into Eretz Yisrael not only Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim, but even Chalalim as well. So we just spent a lot of time in the Gemara going over this idea that they had Chalalim with them as well. Kohanim that did not have the Yichus, but they were still allowed certain certain allowances, i.e. they can eat Trumah Derabanan, which we just gone over last like 10 minutes. The Gemara continues. Now, so far, we have been arguing for the last 10 minutes that they're eating Trumah, but only Trumah Derabanan, not Trumah Deraisa. Let's reread the Pasuk. We just did. The Pasuk tells us that what kind of Trumah can they eat? Well, the Pasuk, all the Pasuk really says is they're not eating Kodesh HaKadashim. They're not eating Karban, which indicates that anything short of that, they are in fact allowed to eat. So, and that would indicate that they're allowed to eat Trumah Deraisa. So the Gemara says a couple of things. The Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. Here's how we're going to attack the Pasuk and translate the Pasuk. Lo mide de mikre kodesh, v'lo mide de mikre kadashim. So lo mide de mikre kodesh, chsiv chozar lo yochu kodesh. And lo mide de mikre kadashim, the Adam Akra, ubas kohen, ki si ala ishar, hi b'chumas ha-kadashim lo sochal. Amamar b'mor min ha-kadashim. Okay. So the way we're interpreting the Pasuk in Ezra is that kodesh is a reference to Trumah, and Kedoshim is a reference to Karbanos, and that which comes off the Karbanos. Okay, and an assortment of Psukim, which I just said. Bemurim and a Kedoshim. Sorry, you should have read the next two words. Lo Sochal. Okay. Wonderful. So far now, we have covered the first four categories of the Mishnah. Ezra brought with him back into Eretz Yisrael, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, and Chalalim. Great. Four down, six to go. Let's go. We're on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. We are the third word in Gere and Charure. So Minal and Amrav Chista Amakra. So here we are now in Ezra Perik Vav. So I told you. In other words, really to better appreciate the Gemara today, really just a working knowledge of Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah. That's all. No big deal. So the Minal and Amrav Chista Amakra. The pasuk in Ezra. This is Perik Vav. V'cholad Nidal Mitumas Goyi Haaretz Aleihem. Okay, over here, the Gemara quotes really just a too short section of it, a little bit of background. Over here in the sixth parak, what are we describing? The eating of the Karban Pesach, meaning Ezra now bringing the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. They're building a base of Mikdash and Karban Pesach. And over here, the Pasuk, I'm reading more of the Pasuk. V'yachlu b'nei Yisrael ha'shavim me'agolah v'cholah nivdal mitumas goyah ha'aretz aleihem l'drosh la'ashem elokei Yisrael. So over here, who's eating Karban Pesach? So not only the Jewish people, but those people who are separating from Tumas HaGoyim. In other words, people who were formerly Goyim, what you and I call Gerim, converts. So they're eating Karban Pesach as well. Good. So if they're eating Karban Pesach, so what's clear? It's obviously clear that the Gerim came with them as well. So now we're up to Mamzerim. Oh, by the way, that covers both Gerim and Charurim as well. We're basically quasi-Gerim. I mean, they effectively are Gerim. Okay, Mamzerim. How do we know that Mamzerim also were brought up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? So over here, we are in Sefer Nehemiah. So midichsiv the pasuk vayishmam Sanbalat ha-chorani v'tovya ha-eved ha-moni. So the, So a description of two people that are conversing with Nehemiah. So, Now, as far as this Tuvia is concerned, so he was an Ammoni. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Ki Rabim Yehuda, Bale Shvua Lo, Ki Chasanu L'Shachanya Ben Arach, V'Yochanan Beno, Lakach Es Bas Meshulam Ben Brechya. Okay, and so basically what we're seeing over here is that a number of Jewish people married his daughter, despite the fact that he was not Jewish. So far, remember, what we're trying to prove right now is that they were mamzerim. So far, what do we have over here? In the psukim themselves, clear indication that there was intermarriage. Okay, you probably heard me say this before because I did. And that is Ezra and Nehemiah, a lot of their issues that I deal with is intermarriage. Okay, right? It's a new problem here in America. No, it's a big problem here in America. Yes, huge. But the idea that intermarriage was a problem has existed already for a long time. Okay, we're now in, we are, right, 2,500 years ago, approximately. And what are we contending with? Intermarriage. Okay, and so what? Meaning, that I mean that in the context of our Gemara. In the context of our Gemara, so what? So now we have a union of Jew and non-Jew, and their children are? Okay, so.
That's the conclusion
of the Mamzer? Kasavar, it's not the conclusion. So Kasavar, Mamzer. So the Gemara says, and now that now in the Pesukim, we see clearly that there is a marriage between Jew and non-Jew. So the children of said union are going to be Mamzerim, right? So the Gemara says, that is a machlokas. If you've been around in the daf long enough, you know that this is a hotly debated issue. The conclusion of the Gemara, not here, but elsewhere, is that the child is not a Mamzer. If dad is a non-Jew and mom is a Jew, the child is a Jew. Okay? The Gemara does have an expression that a Jew that has a pagam, in other words, it is not the best yichus, but certainly in no way, shape, or form a mamzer. So, okay, fine, that's the conclusion. But we're not here in the conclusion right now. We are amongst the machlokas amaraim who debate this very issue. As you could probably imagine, an extraordinarily heated issue. So, hanich lamandamar avlad mamzer lamandamar, so avlad kasher maikel ameymar, so the Gemara says, okay, but that is not everyone's viewpoint. And according to some, the child is perfectly fine. I say perfectly, by the way, I do want to take that back, but kosher, certainly kosher. So now, under those circumstances, where's your proof that there were mamzerim? V'sumi ma dehavalei b'nei, demalo havalo b'nei. And all you have in the psukim is that there was intermarriage. It doesn't necessarily mean there were children. Again, we want to show clear evidence in the psukim that there were mamzerim. So number one, in the psukim, there was intermarriage. Okay. But show me in the Pesukim where they had children. And Vesumi, my dacha, havalu, sliku, delma, hasam, havalu. And also, all I'm showing you in the Pesukim is that in Eretz Yisrael, there was intermarriage. But in other words, but we're trying to prove that Ezra brought them up from Bavel into Eretz Yisrael. So the Pesukim are not enough evidence. Elami hachas, so the Gemara says, you're right. That Pesuk is not enough evidence. I'll show you another Pesuk. So here we are back in Sefer Nehemiah. And this is chapter 7. Okay, so over here, a collection of people. Okay, I'm not going to go over their names. So, and they couldn't tell you which families they were from. Oh, okay. And now the Gemara darshins. So tell Malach Elo Bnei Adam Shadom Emasim Lamaisis Adam Shenevchul Tel Malach. So the mound of salt. Reminiscent of stone. Okay, mound of salt. And just like the members of stone were involved in Gilo Arayos, and the children were Mamzerim, so too over here, the Tel Olam, that the Sefer Nehemiah, the Pasuk Nehemiah is making allusion to, so the same kind of behavior amongst the Jewish people. They behaved in a similar way, i.e. the children were Mamzerim. Tel Charasha, but wait, there's more. So another person that we described in that pasuk is Tel Charasha. And what does the word Charasha mean? Cheresh, quiet, unable to speak. Kari Abba v'imam mishat kaso. Calls out to who he thinks his father is, and his mother says, no, be quiet, that's not your father. And v'lo yachlo agid beis avasam v'zaramim yisraelim, zehu asufish and asafim min hashuk. And unable to tell who either of his parents are, so that's the category of him, in our Mishnah called the asufi. The Asufi who can't identify neither mother nor father. Kruv Adon v'Imer, and back to the Pasuk in Nehemiah, and who is that a reference to? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Adon, Ani Amarti Yisrael Lefanai Chashuvim K'Kruv. I thought that my children would be significant and important, just like the Kruv. So, the Haim, Samu Atzmam K'Namer, but rather they made themselves is like a leopard. So in other words, I was expecting them to be of a more exalted type of animal, like the Kruvim, and they elected not to. Ikeda Amri, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Adon, in a slightly different version. So Afapi, Samu Atzmam Kenamer, Hein Chashuv Lefanai K'Kruv. In the second version, a much more uplifting drasha. In other words, they made themselves like Namerim, but to me, they're Kruvim. And either way, regardless. Okay, so over here we have a pasuk. This pasuk, again, is not as clear as day, but that's exactly the point. But it's definitely better. The pasuk that we just cited in Sefer Nehemiah in the 7th Perek is definitely a better source that shows us that what came up from Bavel, a selection of families that basically really did not pay much attention to their yichus, couldn't identify parents, and behave like stone. Okay, I didn't go in the right order, but you got the point. Okay, so the and so in that description, so it is as clear as could be that there were mamzerim amongst the Jewish people who came from Babel. Okay, we're done. We're not done. We just started. We still got a ways to go. But basically, now we have cited and sourced a number of psukim in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah that showed that when Ezra came up from Babel, so he brought with him all these different types of people along with him. There's still more to go in terms of going back to the Mishnah and sorting out some of the statements that were made in the Mishnah, certainly at the tail end of the Mishnah. So we're not done, but we're going to take a small break over here in the Gemara. And basically what you should be doing is that when you're looking for your Shidduch, so you should be looking for somebody who is of good Yichus. Wonderful. I'm a Rabbi Rabbi Chanukal. I know it's Isha Sheino Geneslo. So if you marry somebody who's not fit for you, not proper for you, so over here, we're not talking about matching personality types. We're not talking about the shadchan trying to figure out what you like versus what she likes, and you know whether or not it's the right hashkafa. That's not what we're trying to figure out over here. Hogeneslo just simply means, does she have yichus? In other words, the investigation over here is she a miyuchas? On the other hand, if she's not a miyuchas, she may be a pasul. Pasul over here means anything that we mentioned previously. Maybe a mamzeris. Maybe maybe she can't identify who her parents are. So if you marry such an individual who does not have yichus, it's like plowing the whole world and putting over there salt. Salt ruins the field. So over here, you're basically salting the fields. Let me tell Melach, tell Charsha. And what pasuk indicates that? The pasuk in Nehemiah that we just cited. Amar Rabba Bar Ada Amar Rav Kolanosi Isha Lushum Mamon. Let's say you marry a woman for money, right? I got to stop joking. My house, it's a refrain of mine. The kids know I'm joking, but I got to stop joking. So anyway, so the Kolanos Isha Lishum Mamon. So if you marry somebody for money, so Avi Labanim Sheinim Uganim. So the children are going to be improper children. Shenemar. So Ba Badu Bi Kibanim Zarim Yaladu. Sorry, Ba Hashem. Okay, better. Ba Hashem Badu Kibanim Zarim Yaladu. So the pasuk in Hosea says that they rebelled against Hashem because they had foreign children. So v'shem etamra mamon palat, and maybe you'll tell me that at least the money's going to be saved, meaning the children are no good, but at least you have money. So the Gemara says, tamalamar, ata yochlem chodesh es chelkehem. Nah, the money's going to be consumed, meaning that's a continuation of the pasuk in Hosea. V'shem etamra chelko. Okay, so maybe your portion of the money will be lost, but not her portion. It really was her family's money. So no, everyone's money is going to be lost, your portion and hers. Okay, but maybe the money won't run out that quickly. Maybe at least we'll get to enjoy the money for a good amount of time. Nah, the pasuk says a month. So my mashma, avad. The Chodesh over here is like the expression, right? A month here, a month gone, and that's it. In other words, a month means all you have is but a month. Amar Rav Baravada, Amar Rav Bisala, Amar Rav Amenuna, Kolanos Isha, Sha'ino Hogenislo. So you marry a woman who is not proper to you, Eliel Kofto. So what's going to happen is that Eliel is going to tie you up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote so, and you're going to get Malkus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vitana, Akulam Eliel Kosev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chosem. And the Brisa basically echoes the sentiment. Okay, the Brisa is a little bit more descriptive, but basically the Brisa says the same thing. Okay, a parenthetical note over here in Rashi, in terms of identifying who is Eliyahu. So I would have guessed, probably you as well, Eliyahu and Navi. So a parenthetical note in Rashi, not unclear who's writing this parenthetical note in Rashi, but clearly it was something that was inserted long time ago. This is not, it's not a new note, right? Could be a student of Rashi. Either way, that this Eliyahu over here is not referring to Eliyahu Navi, but rather it's talking about a malach that goes by the name of Eliyahu. Okay. See Rashi for more of a description of why he believes that that's so. Okay. V'chol ha-posel. Now, we are continuing with the Braisa, meaning that the Braisa that we just cited, The reason why we started the Braisa was just simply to say that when you marry somebody, you have to marry somebody who is of your yichus. But now the Gemara continues with the Braisa v'chol aposel. Now let's say you have someone going around town telling us, hey, you see that family over there? That family doesn't have yichus. In fact, I'm telling you right now, that family, they're mamzerim. Oh, that family over there, they're avadim. So you have this guy who's in the community, and he's going around, and he's posseling everybody. V'chol aposel, posel. Ve'enu medaber b'shivcha la'olam. So he himself really is posel. And he has nothing pleasant, nothing positive to say about others. Ve'amar Shmuel. And on top of that, Shmuel says, b'mumo posel. Right, that when you disqualify somebody else, so really what you're doing is it's reflective, right? You're projecting. In other words, really the truth of the matter is that it's you who has that psul, but you're not interested in looking in the mirror. So what you do is basically reflect it onto other people. So you have somebody going around town saying that that person's a mamzer and that person's a mamzer, calling everybody a mamzer. So it's fair to now conclude that the individual who is describing everyone else as a mamzer, they themselves are a mamzer. Okay, and now story time. Everyone ready? Sit back. I was going to say relax. Okay. And I'm not sure if relax is the right word, but let's get ready for a story that makes exactly this point. Hahu gava demi Narda. There was a person from the town of Narda, the Alabe mitbachai b'pumbedisa. And so he went to the butcher in Pumbedisa. Amr lahu havuli bisra. So he didn't take a ticket. He didn't take a ticket. Okay, so you go to the butcher, you take a ticket. Okay, everybody here knows what I'm talking about. They still do tickets. I'm going to clearly show you how many times I go out shopping. Not that often. Okay, but anyway, but I have good memories of taking the ticket. So anyway, so he's at the butcher. He's in the butcher in Pumbedisa, this guy. And so he makes a demand. No, I'm ready to be served. So the butcher said to him, Natar Adeshakel Shamidu Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. So he says, you have to wait your lot. You have to wait your turn. In fact, not only do you have to wait your turn, I'm already serving somebody. Who am I serving? The shamish of Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, the Nes of Lach, and then after I finish with him, so then I'll serve you. In other words, just simply wait your turn. So Amar Man Yehuda Bar Shevisgeel de Kadum Lid de Shakel Min Kamai. So who is this Yehuda, son of Shevisgeel? Now you'll notice moments earlier that his name was not that. His name was rather Yehuda bar Yecheskel. So over here, right away, we could hear that there's taunting and teasing going on, not saying his name properly. And the word Shevisgeel is also it's pejorative. Basically, it's like he's a glutton. Okay, so in other words, this guy over here. First of all, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel is not even in the butcher. It's the shamish of. But it doesn't matter. In other words, the point is that now, because this person is told to wait his turn, so now he's derision. He's deriding the Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. Azo amalel Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda now is being told that this guy goes into the butcher, and because he has to wait, now is mocking, deriding Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. So Shamte, so he put him in Chayrim. Amru, Ragul de Karlin Shiabde. Wait, 1 second, let's just another thing. You should know that this person goes around town and he refers to and he describes as everyone as a Vadim. In other words, it's normal. It's normal for him to just simply point at somebody and say, he's an Eved, his parents are a Vadim. That's what he does. So Achri Zaleya de Avdehu. So now, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel says, okay. So not only am I going to put him in Cherem, in other words, let's not stop there, but now we'll go further than that. And that is that he is now, he himself is an Eved. He calls other people Avadim. It must be indicative of the fact that he himself is an Eved. I skipped a little bit. Sorry. Let's go back. So now, this Ben Naharda, okay, I don't think we're going to be given his name. We'll see. So this Ben Naharda, so now he subpoenas Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel to court. In other words, you're calling me an Eved, you're putting me in the Cherem, you're calling me an Eved, like that's ridiculous. So he takes him to court. Aisa Pitka de Hazmana. So they brought him the subpoena. Also Rav Yehuda Kamen de Rav Huna Amar Le Ezel O Lo Ezel. So now he, Rav Yehuda, turns to Rav Huna, and he says to Rav Huna, look, I got this guy, obviously he's a nudnik, and he's making my life a little bit miserable, and now he's taking me to court because I put him in cherem and because I described him as an eved. And so now he feels like he has a case against me. Do I need to honor the subpoena? Do I need to go to court? So Amrlei Mezel Lo Bailach LeMezel Mishum DeGavrabat Ela Mishum Yikar DeBeNisia Kumzil. So look, the truth of the matter is that you're an Adam Gadol, and so you are the Rosh Hashiva Pumbedisa. So the truth of the matter is that you don't have to go. However, Yikara DeBeNisia. So who was this person's father-in-law? So the person's father-in-law was Rav Nachman. So as a result of that, kumzil. So in other words, he does have some protection. He does have some influence. So you should go. Asav Ashkeche Dekavin Make. So Rav Yehuda now goes in front of Rav Nachman. And what does Rav Nachman do? So Rav Nachman now is making a Make. Right? A little fence around his rooftop. Amar Lei, so now Rav Yehuda turns to Rav Nachman and says, I don't understand. Lo sevel amar lahad amar Rav Huna bar Idi amar Shmuel, kevish nisnamna adam parnasal atzibor, aser basiyas malachim bifnei shlosha. So he says, I don't understand. You shouldn't be doing this. Now, remember, by the way, the reason why Rav Yehuda is going to Rav Nachman is to honor the subpoena that he was given. But meanwhile, this is a funny introduction. He makes himself, he provides for himself in front of Rav Nachman. Basically, the first thing he does with Rav Nachman is he criticizes Rav Nachman. You know, Rav Nachman, you're an Adam Gadol. You're the leader of the Jewish community. And what are you doing? You're making a fence. You're doing manual labor publicly. And Adam Gadol shouldn't be doing that. So Amalei Porta de Gundrisa hu de Ka'avdinan. So he says, look, in other words, you're right. In other words, you're not allowed to do hard manual labor. All I'm doing is making a little fence over here. It's not a big deal. Now, he says a little fence, and when Rav Nachman describes a little fence, he calls it a gundrita. Now, if you're not familiar with that word, you're in good company. I'm not familiar with that word. It is an unusual word used to describe the fence. And Amarle, and immediately Rav Yehuda calls him out on that. And Amarle, Misanya, Maka, Dichse Baraisa, Omechitze, De Amarabanan. You know, if you're describing your fence that you're making, so call it a maka, that's a pasuk in the Torah. Call it a mechitza, that's what the rabbis describe it as. But to describe it as a gundrisa, that's a funny language. Who uses that language? So Rav Yehuda, by the way, obviously. So Rav Yehuda over here is presenting himself to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's going to ultimately be the judge of the case. So Rav Yehuda's strategy over here is certainly curious. Because, in other words, as you would probably imagine, as I would imagine, in other words, before seeing the judge, you don't want to upset the judge. And you don't want to rile him up. And over here, it is definitely a curiosity that Rav Yehuda meets with Rav Nachman and now criticizes the fact that he's doing manual labor, criticizes the words that he uses to describe the fence. But wait, we're not done yet. There's more to come. So Amrlei Yasim Ar Karpita. And now Rav Nachman invites Rav Yehuda to sit down on the bench, but he doesn't say the word bench. He says Karpita. Funny, by the way, I hear the word carpet there. Maybe. Who knows? So Amrlei Misani Safsal Damar Rabbanon Ritzaba Kadamri Inche. Now again, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman, what a funny word that you're using over here. In other words, call it a Safsal. Call it an Ritzaba. Right? What are you calling it? A Karpita. So Etrunga. So now, not only does he invite him to sit down, but he invites him to offer him something to eat. You want to eat an Esrog, but he doesn't say Esrog. He says Esrunga. So Amrlei Hachi Amr Shmuel Kol Amr Esrunga Tilsa Beramus Rucha. So Esrog Kedekarira, but no Esrog Kedamar Inche. So anyone who says the word Esrunga, so that's a little bit arrogant. Now, at this point in time, by the way, like it's almost impossible to understand what Rav Yehuda's strategy over here is. In other words, really, like critiquing Rav Nachman in every point. And not only that, but describing Rav Nachman as being somewhat arrogant because he doesn't call the Esrog the way normal people normally call it. So, it just, whatever. I really struggle to understand Like what Rabbi Yehuda is doing as a strategy. So Amrle Lishemar an Baga. Forgive me, I'm trying to pronounce it correctly. So now he invites Rav Nachman invites Rav Yehuda to have a drink. So Amrle, you know what's gonna happen at this point in time. Misani ispargaske de karabanan. Oh, and pak da amri inche. I don't understand. Call what you should call it. Called ispargus. Right? That's what the Chachamim describe it as. A number of places throughout Shas, the Gemara describes a drink called asparagus. Right? It's funny. In English, asparagus is a vegetable, which, you know, I'm not particularly fond of. But the in Aramaic, clearly it's a reference to a type of drink. Or call it anpak. But in other words, but you gave it this funny name of anbaga. Who calls it anbaga? So Amrle Tese Dunag. Vitashkina. So let my daughter Dunag go ahead and serve you. So Amrle Hachyamishmol Aim Mishtamshin Beisha. So he says, wait one second. I have a tradition that goes back to Shmuel, which is that you're basically that's child labor and exploitation and ketanihi. And Beferish Amar Shmuel Aim Mishtamshin Beisha Klal Ben Gadol Ben Ketana. And I have a tradition that you're not allowed to go ahead and exploit child labor, and it doesn't matter whether she's a gadol or whether she's a katana. Okay, Nishad Delay Mar.
Does that have to do with using the woman? It says here, whether it's the younger or old.
Yeah, right. Correct. In other words, it's right. In other words, right. They thought any kind of exploitation, and right, it doesn't matter whether it's a woman or whether it's a young girl. Nishad Delay Mar Sharma Liyalta. Should I give your regards to Yalta? Okay, as we know throughout Shas, so the wife of Rav Nachman is Yalta. Okay, a number of just amazing stories are told between Rav Nachman and Yalta. Gemara in Chulin, that happens to be, I went over it recently. And there's a Gemara in Brachas in the 7th parak. Anyway, over here. So Rav Nachman says now to Rav Yehuda, Shai, send your regards to Yalta. So Amrle, so Hachi Amr Shmuel, Kobi Isha Erva. I can't. In other words, I'm going to have a conversation with your wife, Kolbe Isha Erva. Okay, so I see over here lots of notes, lots of footnotes over here. Kolbe Isha Erva usually is a reference to a woman singing. So over here, it just to send Shalom Aleichem, just to say hello, right? A courteous, like, good morning, good afternoon, good Shabbos. Like, in other words, that's problematic, right? At least Rav Yehuda is balking at the idea that I can't say hello to your wife. In other words, Kolbe Isha Erva. She's going to respond, and I'm going to hear her say hello to me. Okay, so there's a lot of discussion.
What does this have to do with our Gemara?
Well, we're still lost in this tangent. Hold on. We're going to come back. It'll just take a moment. So Asher Ayideh Shliach. So Rav Nachman says, okay. So you don't have to talk to her directly, but Ayideh Shliach. So Amalei Hachyam Shmuel. He says, no, I have a Masar from Shmuel. So Ain Shalom B'Shalom Isha. So Ayideh Bala. So Amalei Hachyam Shmuel. Ain Shalom B'Shalom Isha Klal. So you're not allowed to make an inquiry regarding the how is your wife doing? It doesn't matter whether it's done face to face. Doesn't matter if it's done ayde shliach. Okay. Again, by the way, obviously over here within this tangent, there's a lot of discussion regarding practical lessons to be learned in terms of how to speak to women, how to speak to other people's wives. In other words, there certainly should be a sense of restraint, obviously, and modesty goes without saying. But over here, our Gemara gives a hardline approach of no communication whatsoever, not even indirect communication. Okay, so there's obviously a lot to discuss over here. It's very important. It just happens to be not germane to our discussion. All this, as we just pointed out, all this is really just a tangent. So, and by the way, I'm also just going to share one quick curiosity of mine, and that is that Rav Yehuda is schooling Rav Nachman. Okay, these are how the kids talk. So Rav Yehuda is schooling Rav Nachman in a number of things that Rav Nachman's doing incorrectly. And you'll notice also that who is Rav Yehuda citing as a source? Shmuel. Now, it also happens to be that, who's a student of Shmuel? Rav Nachman. So just like, all right, a little bit curious as to like Rav Nachman at any point in time, like he doesn't push back. In other words, Rav Yehuda says, Shmuel said this.
He's very odd character. He's right. A pretty sharp personality.
Right. And Shmuel said that. And Rav Nachman also learned and studied by Shmuel. So, okay. I'm just thinking out loud. Anyway, so Ein Shalom Be'isha, we just did that. So, Shachale Devasayu. So, Sharele Tigra. So the Delo Nishai Kishar Amaretz. So now, a note was sent from Yalta to Rav Nachman, and the note basically read as follows: right to my beloved Rav Nachman, get rid of this guy. In other words, over here, right? He came over here because he was subpoenaed, and there's a court, and enough with the pleasantries. Let's do away with the pleasantries because he's got a comment for everything you're doing. Okay, so your best advice right now is wrap it up. He's going to make you, just to translate the Gemara a little bit more faithfully, he's going to make you like an Amaretz. In other words, he's basically going to have not only a comment on everything you're doing, but cite sources. Right? Good. So Amrle Mai Shayeta Damar Hachi. So he says, okay, why are you here? Amrle Taska Dasmanasa Shada Mar Abasrai. He says, because I was sent to subpoena. So I'm here because I was subpoenaed. Amrle Hashta Shusa Damar Logamirna. So the Taska Dasmanasa Mashadra Lamar. So he says, well, it's so interesting. In other words, so far you've been schooling me on everything. And now I can't possibly imagine that you were subpoenaed over here. Apigdiska das minusa me bay chadyev achsele. So he goes into his pocket, takes out the subpoena and shows it to him. So Amrle, hi Gavra. So the hadiska. So he says, look, here's the man and here's the subpoena. Amrle hova asamar lahacha lishtaye mile. So So kihechad ala limrei mechanfei rabbanan adade. So he says, okay. So look, now that you're here, and you are subpoenaed against this person who was from Narada, so let him talk and let him speak because I don't want it to sound like I'm showing any type of favoritism to Talmid Chachamim. So let him speak first. So Amrlei. So now the Ben Narada is opening first. So in other words, he gets to make the first argument. So Amar Lei, my time is Shamte Mar Lahu Gavra. So how come you put this person in Chayrim? Meaning, why did you put me in Chayrim? Sorry, right. So he's turning now to Rav Yehuda in front of Rav Nachman, and now a simple question: right, you put me in Chayrim. I don't understand why. So it's Tzir Shlichah de Rabbanan. V'Nagde Mar de Rav Mangid Aman de Metzar Shlichah de Rabbanan. Da Adiv Minei Avdilei. So he says, well, here's what happened. In other words, I sent one of my shluchim over to the butcher to go buy. And what did you do? So you taunted him, you teased him, and you disrespected my shliach at the butcher. So this Ben Naharda said, okay, so what I did was wrong, but what you did to me is worse. Because what you should have done to me is that you should have given me Malkus. But you put me in Chayrim, Chayrim is worse than Malkus. Okay, again, it's hard for us to imagine, hard for us to understand, right? Nowadays, we don't give anybody malchus, that's why it's hard for us to understand, meaning we don't have many tools left in the toolbox in terms of how to try to get somebody to be somewhat more on board. So what do we have left in our toolbox? Really, almost nothing. So we put people in Chayrim. Okay, does it work?
Was there a term limit for putting someone in Chayrim?
All right, the Gemara Moikan has a detailed instructions of when you put somebody in Chayrim, how do they get out of Chayrim, right? The Gemara Moi cut in the third parak over there goes through all those in much greater detail. So over here, so the guy says to Rav Yehuda, if you gave me Malkus, fine. But you did worse than that, you put me in Chayrim. Obviously, that's a big deal, much bigger deal. My time achris mar ala da avdahu. So the... But meanwhile, and not only that, but you also describe me as being an Eved. Amalei deragel dekarin sheavde v'tini kol apostel apostle ve'inu medaber b'shiv chalolam and amar shmor b'mum apostle. And the reason why I'm calling you an Eved is because you call everybody else an Eved. And I have a tradition going back to Shmuel that anyone who describes others as being an Eved, they themselves are an Eved. So emadamar shmor lemechesh lei lachruzel amiamar. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Even though I'm not arguing with you what Shmuel said, but here's my pushback. My pushback is that it's true. Shmuel said that when somebody goes around calling other people Avadim, it means that they themselves are an Evan. That doesn't mean that you declaratively are allowed to tell other people that they're an Evan. What it simply means is you're allowed to be concerned. Meaning if somebody tries to present a shidduch between you and that family, that guy who calls everyone else avadim, now in the back of your head, you are allowed to think, he's probably in heaven. I'm going to say no to the shidduch. So as a cheshash, yes. But to go and verbally declare to other people that person's in heaven, just because he calls other people avadim, that's too far. So now, as we're in the middle of the trial, So, and not only that, I can't even believe you called me an Eved. Why? Because you know what my family is? I come from the family of Chashmonaim. Good. Now, at this point in time, for those of you who have been in the daf long enough, you'll know. So basically, he just called himself out. In other words, by he himself describing that he's from the base Chashmonaim, that probably means he's an Eved. How do I know that? So Amrle to Rav Yehuda says, Hachem Shmuel, called Amrle Midabe Chashmonai, Kasina Avdahu. Okay, as a tradition going back to Shmuel, anyone who says they're from the base Chashmonai, so they themselves are Avadim. Amrle, Lo Sava Lamar, Lahad Amr Rabbi Abba Amr Ravun Amr Rav Kol Tamil Chachim Im Kodem Maisa Amr Shamim Lo Vi Im Lav Ein Shamim Lo. So Amrle Haika Rav Masa Dekai Kavasi. So the pushback over here is, but wait 1 second. You're only reporting this after I declared I was from Beis Chashmonai. Meaning, if you made the statement before I made my statement, then that's fine. But over here, you're now poskening after I already declared myself to be from Beis Chashmonai. It's not an objective source. So his response is, you're right. For me, it's not an objective source. But Rav Masna already had a precedent case in which he declared somebody to be an Eved because they said they were from Beis Chashmonai. So in other words, you're right. Over here, if it were just me saying it right now, no good. You're right. But over here, we have a precedent case. So, Rav Masna lo chazal an adai tlei sashni. So, and the Gemara now goes back. So, that Rav Masna was not in Arda for 13 years. And Awuyuma asa, and it was on that day he came. Amalei dachir mar mai amar Shmuel ki kai chadakar agud v'char kadamabra. Do you remember what Shmuel said? And by the way, just to help trigger your memory, Shmuel was standing one leg on the boat, one leg on the shore. So Hachi Amar Shmuel called Amar Midabesh Chashmonai Malka Kasina Abdahu. He says, "Oh yeah, right. That's when Shmuel came out with the psak." And Shmuel's psak was: is anyone who declares they're from Beis Chashmonai are in fact avadim. V'lo ishtar minayu alahi ravisa. And the only one that was left from Beis Chashmonai was this young woman. And Sakala Igra Varam Yakala, she went to the top of the rooftop, she raised her voice, Amra, I'll call the Amra me Beis Chashmonai Nai Avdahu. Anyone who says they're from Beis Chashmonai is in fact an Eved, Nafla Migra Misa. She committed suicide. So Achra Zalai da Avdahu. So now, as Rav Nachman has now clarity on this issue, that anyone who's from Beis Chashmonai is in fact an Eved. So now Rav Nachman turns to this individual and says, okay, so now you're an Eved. Achra Zalai da Avdahu. How Yuma Akaran Kama Ksuvasa Ben Arda. So it was on that day, so many Ksuvas were torn up, meaning that a lot of people were outed at that point in time that they were in fact Avadim, as they were from Beis Chashmonai. Kika Nafak, so now Rav Yehuda is exiting Nahar Dai. Nafek Abasre Lemir Gameh. So now so many people were hating on Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda now exposed a lot of people to be Avadim. People who, up until now, were able to keep that under wraps. But now Rav Yehuda exposed them. And now as Rav Yehuda was leaving town, so many people were following him, but not following him, meaning not like followers, you know, followers who are liking, but rather followers who wanted to stone him. So, Amr lehu ishtiku shtiku. So Rav Yehuda turns around and tells all of his detractors, you know what? You want to be quiet? I strongly recommend that. V'ilo migalchina aleichu. Had Amr Shmuel Tarte Zarasi Ika Ben Arda Chada Mikre Debe Yonah V'Chada Mikre Debe Urvasa V'Simancha Tamei Tamei Tower Tower. So basically I have more information that I could go public with, right, about the two families. One family name is Yonah, the other family's name is Orev, and obviously these names are not public information. Otherwise, he just exposed the information. Anyway, and the family who goes by the name of Yonah, kosher bird, kosher family. The family whose name is Orev, not kosher bird, not kosher family. In other words, I got more information. So you know what? Leave well enough alone. Leave me alone. In other words, I understand. I already created enough damage over here in town. But the truth of the matter is, I could do more.
Should I right by withholding information?
I was wondering the same thing myself. Right? It's a good question. And literally, that's what in my head I was wondering. So Shadulah Rigma Midayu become Amta Benar Malka. And okay, and they, so they decided, okay, we're not going to stone him. So all the stones that they had collected in order to stone Rav Yehuda, so they put in the river, stopped up the river. It's an expression. It just simply means there were a lot of stones that were ready to stone Rav Yehuda with, and they said, you know what, not today. They're not going to stone him. Okay, we're going to pause over here. That was a long story. that was a very long story. Okay, these Zappim are a little bit on the longer side, but anyway, obviously we're treated to a lot of stories.
Okay. Rav Yehuda came out on top.
Right, Rabbi Yehuda came out on top, right? Right against Rav Nachman, against his Bardine, against the other plaintiff. Okay, yeah. Right, very good. Okay, where are we right now? So we have just started the fourth parak of Kedushin. We went over the ten categories of people that came up with Ezra from Bavel into Eretz Yisrael when building Bayis Sheni. We cited numerous psukim this morning from this farm of Ezra Nehemiah. That showed us that all these people came with them. And then, just as a general note, you got to be careful about who you marry. Make sure that the person you marry has good yichus. And if you're not careful about who you marry, it's a really bad thing. And also don't marry for money. Another lesson learned. And if you go around posseling other people, so the chances are is that you are what you are describing others as. Okay, right? An unbelievable psychological insight. And then we were treated today to almost a full daf story that involved Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, Yalta, this person who was accused of being an Evan. Okay. I'd come.